Thank you. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of October 26, 2011, coming to order at 5:45 p.m. Pacific time, 8:05 p.m. Eastern time. Marie's chair, Bill Crozier, vice chair, secretary. Our secretary is not yet with us, so I will go ahead and call the roll. Thank you. Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Reese Allen.
Here.
Actually, I am in a car. Bill, would you at least count out the people as I call?
Okay. I'll just go down to what I printed. Laura Priebus? Can't hear you, Laura. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'm here. Laura Priebus is here.
Okay.
Sorry,
Laura.
Here.
And Tracy, thank you. Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Andrea Turner? Can't hear you, Andrea. KPFK? Ken Aaron?
Here.
Rodrigo Argueta? Can't hear you, Rodrigo. Lydia Brazón?
Here.
Okay. Summer Reese?
Present.
Thank you. KPFT, Teresa Allen, you already said you're here. Jessica Polinoff? Jessica?
Yes,
are you? Wesley Bethune?
There's an echo. Echo.
Yeah, is that you, Wesley?
I'm here.
Yeah, why don't you identify yourself, please? Okay, I got it, Wesley. Please mute. I'm Bill Crozier. I'm here. We'll do WBAI next, WPSW, then affiliates. So you can know when to unmute yourself. WBAI. Present.
And it's very hard to hear. Hello?
Yeah, okay. I got you, Nia. Carolyn Burden?
Yes, I'm here. There's a delay on the phone, so I don't know what it is, but it's a delay.
Well, I can mute myself if somebody else wants to try it, in case it's me.
I'm hearing you twice.
Yeah, I'm hearing everybody twice.
I'm hearing everything twice also.
Yeah, me too.
There's a definite echo.
Somebody is on either speakerphone or Skype. Could you get off the phone if you're on speaker, or could you kill the Skype one way or the other?
I'm on Skype, but I got earphones.
All right, let's try to get through the
rules.
Go ahead.
Kathy? Oh, the echo's gone, so somebody did something good. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Okay, don't hear the... Oh, thank you, Alex. Didn't hear Kathy. WPFW, Bruce Wolf.
Here.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Kimmery Randolph? Can't hear you, Kimmery. Marcel Reed?
Here.
Thank you, Marcel. Affiliates, Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you either, Afia. Arlene Engelhart?
Present.
Thank you. LaVorne Williams?
Present.
And John Gary, I believe, recording secretary. Heard you earlier. You're muted, I think, John, if you're... Can you confirm?
Recording secretary is present.
Thank you. Okay, we have quorum, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, so I haven't received any requests for excused absences, so we will skip that. Everyone's got a copy of the agenda that Bill graciously put together and sent out for us. Are there any objections to the agenda as proposed?
This is Ken. I just would like to be notified of what was changed. I don't have an opportunity to review. Bill said he just sent out another copy.
Bill, could you elaborate on that, please?
Okay, the last version, revision 3, that I sent out a few minutes ago, the only change was I had to edit the text of Nia's motion about depreciation. I had a placeholder in there, so it's in the same place under 5A, but I didn't have the wording of the motion. And then the revision before that had the text of the motion from the Elections Committee.
Thank you, Bill. And I know that Alex has a motion to respond to the violence police at Occupy Oakland. So I don't know if you want to move to amend the agenda or something to have that.
Yes, I would like to, if I may.
Go ahead.
I would like to move an emergency motion about the Oakland situation right at the first item after we approve the agenda.
Thank you. Is there a second to that?
I'd like to amend that. I mean, we have to do the normal business of announcements and approving the minutes.
I will second it, and then it can be amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. And where do you want to move it?
This is Ken. It should be, if it's going to be at the top, I don't have the agenda in front of me, but it certainly has got to be after the minutes of announcements. So it could be the first item.
First item after the before committee.
Summer, you're seriously breaking up. I can only hear every
Sorry,
other
and
word.
Hard, so it keeps telling me I've got a good signal, but it's lying, obviously. I was saying after the executive director's report, after the report, but before committee, before we go into the committee report.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, is that acceptable, Alex? Alex? Is there any objection to that? Well, if you're speaking, Alex, I can't hear you, so perhaps you're on mute. I don't know.
I'd prefer to have it right after we approve the minutes. This should only be a three-minute item.
Okay,
I completely object. I completely object to that. This is going to be going on and on and on for weeks and months, and we'll probably be wanting to make statements, and it may take more than 3 minutes.
Okay.
So I don't think we want to keep doing just having meetings talking about press releases. We have to do some business.
All right, so your objection is to having it put there, but you didn't object to having it put...
Right, after the chair's report, whatever.
The executive director's report.
Right. I'm sorry. That's right.
Okay, Alex, if you don't want to accept that as a friendly amendment?
Okay. I'll accept it.
Okay, thank you. So is there any objection to doing that? And hearing none. Thank you all. Okay, so we will go ahead and put that emergency motion at the front end of committee reports and after various executive reports and amendments. Thank you. Are there any other amendments or changes to the agenda before we proceed? Okay. And not? Excellent. Thank you. Okay, folks, very good. So I believe the first thing we didn't have excused absences. I'm in a car, so let me see. I think the first thing is minutes approval. Is that correct? Bill, you have a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't believe our regular board secretary is with us yet. She's joined the call since we called roll. I don't know if there are any minutes to be approved. I didn't see it distributed right before the meeting, and the secretary is not on the call. So shall we postpone approval of minutes? Is there a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I'll move to postpone until next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any objections to that? Okay. Hearing none. Thank you. Okay. And I think, is the chair's report the thing that comes next on the agenda, Bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Including any executive session report outs.
We need a whole bevy of them, I believe. And we should probably allocate a sufficient amount of time at our next meeting to handle, any executive session report outs that haven't been done thus far. Since I am at Kaiser with a 92-year-old friend and chairing from my car, I am going to skip giving a chair's report this evening because I do not feel able to deal with that in the context of everything going on around me with the hospital. So I will go ahead and give a report at our next meeting, and I think that will move us on to Arlene's report, the executive director's report. So Arlene, are you ready to go ahead and give a report?
Sure. This is the report that, with a couple of additions that I was scheduled to give at the Washington meeting, and we didn't get to.
Ask the members to graciously give Arlene whatever time she needs, since she was not allowed the opportunity to give her in-person report. Thank you. Go ahead.
Right. I'd like to start, though, with an addendum that deals with the time since then, with our financial issues. I'd just like to point out that we've completed this fiscal year. We're still working on closing the books. We're still making adjustments. So we certainly don't have final figures, but it does appear that our profit and loss statement will show that we are a little over $2 million ahead of where we were last year at this time.
Woohoo! Wonderful.
Now, that's, you know, I'm very excited about that, and I'm pleased. I wish that we had been $3 million ahead, which would mean that we would have paid off our past due debts. We haven't. But what it does mean is that we are finishing, while last year we finished the year with very close to a $2 million deficit, 1.974. The year before, the deficit was 2.701. And the year before that, it was almost $500,000, $433,000. This year, we should finish with just a very slight surplus. As I say, that doesn't get us out of the woods. It doesn't mean that we're in wonderful shape, but it does mean that we've progressed a long way from where we were a year ago at this time. I think that we have to continue to be aware that we have to pay off our past debts. I've committed to getting them paid off in a 3-year period, and that's going to take some very stringent controls on all of our budgets and following all of our spending very, very carefully. I've gotten complaints from a couple of stations who say, hey, wait a minute, we're carrying the burden for the entire network. While that's not true, there certainly are at least 3 stations that are carrying more than their share during the last couple of years. I do want to remind everybody that at some points in our history, every station has been doing the lion's share. So there's no station that's always been in the black. And there's no station that's always been in the red. There have been suggestions that we need to mandate that every station finish in the black. And since I've received a number of comments to that effect, I'd just like to make a couple of comments. One is that we can continue operating the way we have, working with the stations that are having the roughest time, continuing to monitor everything very carefully, looking at any expense with a very jaundiced eye before we allow it to be made, and then moving forward and seeing what that does for us this year. A more austere measure would be to mandate that any station that isn't in the black at the end of this year make additional cuts. And while that may seem very appealing on the surface, we have to remember that a couple of our stations have rents and moving costs that are really putting them in very difficult positions, and we might be almost putting them out of business if we were to adopt that. The next possibility would be that there be major cuts to the point that perhaps we would have to cut to a bare minimum staff and pipe in programming to a station. And the final solution would be that we sell off a station. Now, I'm not advocating for any of those later suggestions, but I'm just pointing out what the possibilities are and the things that you can keep in mind and be considering as you look at our financial reports. And then I'd like to move into the report that I had expected to give in Washington. In a few short weeks, I will have been at Pacifica 2 years. During my tenure, I have faced many challenges and worked to put out many fires. The position and the organization have proven to be challenging, chaotic, depressing, and highly rewarding, sometimes all at the same time. I have spent an inordinate amount of time and energy this year managing legal issues, working to find the right attorneys to move cases forward that have been stagnant for years. In spite of the difficulties, I am excited and challenged to be at Pacifica. There are times when I actually feel a strong sense of a Pacifica network, and I see some incredible teamwork, often under difficult and challenging circumstances. The work that so many of you participated in, spending long hours reading resumes and interviewing candidates, is paying off at KPFK, WPFW, and WBAI. I hope we will have similar results at KPFA. And I do believe that despite our very serious problems, we are making progress. I thank all of you for your support, your belief in the mission of Pacifica, and your dedication and devotion of time to Pacifica Radio. Pacifica Network can and will be a major media force as we move forward. Our business is radio, and at its core is programming. Programming. I am very proud of the network specials we have done this year and the efforts by all of our stations to participate. In April, we produced two special days of programming, one a nuclear teach-in and the other on labor. The timeliness of these programs was amazing as they were aired shortly after Fukuyama and as the issues in Wisconsin were foremost in listeners' minds. Brian DeShazer did an excellent job of coordinating these 2 days. Earlier this month, we carried President Obama's speech on jobs, followed by analysis hosted by Mitch Jeserich and joined by Askia Muhammad live at the Capitol with Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters, and featuring analysis by economist Richard Wolff. And obviously this was expected to be given in September. On 9/11, we hosted a nine-hour special, Footprint on America, carried simultaneously by all of our stations and many affiliates. We featured segments from all five stations, the archives, and Democracy Now! Verna Avery Brown was the producer. With programming in the Pacifica tradition of covering alternatives to mainstream thinking and news, the day was a respectful and thoughtful tribute, ending with two debates and a listener call-in segment. The debates covered both sides of the 9/11 Commission report and the science of the Twin Towers collapse. As Hurricane Irene was moving up the East Coast and appeared to be headed for New York, we learned that WBAI was in the mandatory evacuation zone. After learning that the only way WBAI could stay on the air appeared to be carrying pre-recorded programming, I worked round the clock with John Elmella, the staff at KPFA, and Summer Reese and Carrie Harrison and other staff at KPFK to bring live coverage for most of the storm from Los Angeles to WBAI. Carrie and Summer recruited and carried an impressive and timely array of guests and hosted calls from WBAI programmers and listeners. Following Irene, we completed a list of emergency contacts for every station that includes management and programming and technical staff. John Elmella is working with staff from all stations to develop emergency plans to keep all stations on the air in the event of an emergency. This includes identifying stations who can produce and feed programming to the tower of a station that may not be able to broadcast from their studios. Andrew Phillips is working with the stations to develop contingency plans for programming. Preliminary plans are already in place, and final plans will be completed in October. I am particularly proud of the way our stations have covered the, quote, state murder, unquote, of Troy Anthony Davis. I recorded two editorials on this travesty of justice, and in the second one reminded listeners that we have been opposing the death penalty since at least 1959. The Archives is producing a premium on the death penalty that stations can offer during membership drives. The Archives does produce a premium featuring most of our network specials. As we continue to enhance our network presence and branding with national specials, I propose that we carry at least 1 day of special programming each quarter. I instituted weekly program director meetings, and they expressed a desire for this. In addition, these meetings give them the opportunity to share information on programming, tips, and thank you gifts for membership drives and other topics of common interest. As we move into 2012, we will cover G8 in the spring and the election as it develops, including at least the major conventions. We are working with WMNF in Tampa on coverage of the Republican convention, and we'll be working with Free Speech Radio News on G8 and election coverage. I am working with the GMs and PDs to develop program evaluations and to continue to improve programming to provide better listening to our audience. As our programming improves, we should see increases in listenership. We also need to enhance our PR efforts to better inform our communities about our stations and programming. And I'll add an aside here that I have instructed each station to develop and give me a plan for increasing listenership in their particular area. And the station managers and program directors are working on that. As progressive individuals and as a progressive organization and radio network, we are facing very difficult obstacles. In the U.S., progressive voices are marginalized, and progressives have a difficult time uniting to achieve common goals. The middle class and poor people are suffering, and except for the very wealthy, people are worried about their jobs and financial stability. The financial instability in our country and the world has had a significant effect on giving to nonprofit organizations, including Pacifica. Pacifica can and must position itself to help overcome the chaos. We have the advantage of the airwaves to reach listeners. We must overcome our financial deficits, operate within our income, and work creatively to reach more listeners and to provide voice to those who are not often heard. Finances. As we saw in the 2010 audit and management letter, our financial situation is precarious. In order to turn this around, we must keep expenses below income and we must generate revenue to pay outstanding bills. Our first priority is to restore solvency and then begin to move forward. I have been working with the Financial Reform Audit Task Force, FRET, to develop and implement necessary plans. My plan to move us out of the current fiscal crisis includes 1. Operate with expenses less than revenue each year, current year, and each fiscal year following. It appears that Pacifica will finish fiscal year 2011 overall with revenues greater than expenses. With permanent GMs at 4 of the 5 stations, the stability of the foundation has increased considerably. I have agreement and cooperation from all 5 stations to cooperate with the CFO and me in close monitoring of revenue and expenses beginning with the first month of the fiscal year. We will also monitor staffing levels and effective distribution of staff. 2. Continue to work with WPFW as they move out of their deficit position. I am hopeful that they will finish fiscal year 2011 in the black. Relocation of the station will be a major project for fiscal year 2012, including both the financial and physical needs. 3. Continue the current hiring freeze. 4. Continue to monitor consultant, contractor, temp employee expenses at every unit. 5. Continue to work with WBAI to improve their deficit status. We are working to find the best solution to their lease status as it expires in December 2012. 6. Pay off debt within 3 years. That's fiscal years 2012 to 2014. 7. Work to build a one-month operating reserve fund at each station. Some stations can work toward this goal immediately. Others will continue to pay past due expenses and work toward operating with expense less than revenue. 8. Pay back Heath Fund account within 3 years. That's an internal transfer. 9. Improve financial monitoring and reporting. We now have a system in place to begin monitoring from the beginning of the fiscal year before the audit is completed. 10. Provide Great Plains training for business managers and national finance staff. We have signed a contract to begin this training. 11. Provide Memphis training where needed for membership or financial staff. We are investigating centralizing the Memphis system and contract for the network. Currently, there are different versions of Memphis at different units. 12. Select an audit firm to do the 2011 audit. This is a function of the audit committee and the PNB. 13. Hire internal auditor if funds permit. 14. Continue to work with stations to improve fulfillment rates on the fund drives. WBAI has made significant improvement from approximately 65% to 78%. KPFA has the best fulfillment rate at approximately 88%. And last, work with units to institute, expand major donor programs. Washington and New York have begun this process. KPFA is working with a consultant on this. GM search. New GMs are in place in New York, Washington, and Los Angeles. They are working with me to overcome obstacles and move both their stations and the network forward. KPFA is searching for a permanent GM. Human resources. We have been interviewing and getting proposals from professional employer organizations, PEOs, administrative service organizations, ASOs, and others for the HR services we need. We expect to select a service by the end of October and begin to work shortly thereafter. It looks like it's going to take us into the first week of November, but we have interviews scheduled with the people we're interested in. We will also be instituting a new payroll service expected to begin January or February of 2012. We recently signed a contract for Title VII training. Technical. All stations are in compliance with sound exchange reporting. I received a call from our technical team early Tuesday morning around 1:30 a.m. that the server that housed the Pacifica websites, including audio port and the archives, was crashing. Otis and John worked all night copying data from the failing drive, but it failed too quickly to retrieve all of the data. By late Tuesday, they had restored all of audio port and on Wednesday restored the audio.pacificaradioarchives.org website. The Pacifica website needed to be redesigned. I recommend that we make this is the time we commit to that opportunity. We need to make lemonade out of the lemons. Since that time, Otis has gotten Pacifica Network back up and restored most of the essential documents. We're in the process of finishing that now. John L. Mella is chairing a group of techies from the network to recommend technical needs and ways that we can either improve our service or affect savings by combining resources. WBAI was, quote, selected as a station for ASCAP reporting early this month. Some of the programmers were diligent in filling out the required logs. They've been asked to do a second week, and I understand that it went well. John Kriegler told us that noncompliance could possibly cost the network as much as $35,000 a month in fines. Legal. I have worked with Ricardo, Richard Phelps, and our labor and other attorneys on issues regarding lawsuits. My goal is to resolve disputes without resorting to legal action whenever possible. I will report more specific information to the PNB. That report will be ready for the November 10th meeting. Affiliates and archives. Both the affiliate and archive units are functioning well under the leadership of Ursula and Brian. See their reports in your packet. I would like to bring up one issue, and that is the issue of the Santa Cruz transmitter, which was approved a few years back. We don't have any policy in terms of installing repeaters in areas where we may have affiliate stations, and this is something that we definitely need to look at. This installation moving forward is causing some real concerns on the part of the affiliate station in Santa Cruz. Stations. John Hughes, general manager of WPFW, will give an oral report on the station. You will also hear from the newly elected and past WPFW LSB chairs. In addition, Bertolt Reimers, GM of WBAI, will be here, and Summer has asked him to present his report. See your folder for further reports from the stations. I will report to the PNB on the relocation of WPFW and the expiration of the WBAI studio lease. John Kriegler reported that the Goodrich translator license for KPFT was approved with lightning speed. Whenever I am at a station, I try to attend the events the station is participating in and to avail myself of the opportunity to mingle with and converse with volunteers, including LSB members, listeners, and the community. This trip to Washington, I spoke to the International Association of Whistleblowers and assured them of our station's interest in telling their stories. I also attended a briefing at the Rayburn office building where I heard several whistleblowers tell their stories and had the opportunity to talk with them. On Wednesday evening, I attended the dedication of the Zen Room at the New Busboys and Poets in Hyattsville, Maryland. I was fortunate to have the opportunity to speak with a number of honored guests as well as many others, including Bernice Johnson Reagan of Sweet Honey and the Rock, Cornel West, Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, who is also my host when I visit Washington, saving us hotel bills, Miriam Wright Edelman, Cindy and Craig Corey, parents of Rachel, Pat Humphreys and Sandy O of Emma's Revolution. Pete Seeger has said people will be singing Pat's songs 100 years from now, and Andy Shalal, owner and chair of WPFW Major Donor Campaign, as well as of Busboys and Poets and Zora's Restaurants. I participated in phone interviews with most of these people before joining Pacifica. Cornel West thanked me for my efforts with Pacifica and said he would be interested in exploring more programming for Pacifica. WPFW was to broadcast the program that night, but aired Amy's coverage of the Troy Davis state murder instead. They will broadcast the recorded program at a later date. I left Busboys and Poets to go with Medea to the Supreme Court, where we joined a peaceful chant and vigil waiting for the Supreme Court decision on Troy Davis. There were about 150 people in front of the Supreme Court building, a very moving experience. It was difficult to return to my computer to finish this report. However, I am proud of our stance on the death penalty over the years and feel strongly that we must continue the pressure on our lawmakers and the courts. The Zen Room dedication was deliberately planned for September 21st because it is World Peace Day. It is ironic that the state murder of Troy Davis was also set for that day. In addition, it was disturbing to hear Medea Benjamin talk about the demonstration at the Capitol put on behalf of Congress, where the World Peace Day exhibit was an exhibit of drones. We must further the Pacifica mission of peace. Moving forward, the PNB needs to work with the ED, CFO, and other national staff to solve problems. We can be most effective if we work as a team. I would like to see the PNB strive to resolve issues and work toward common goals rather than spend so much of their and staff time and energy on infighting. Lawsuits take a terrible toll on the foundation. They frequently pit PNB members against one another and waste the foundation's assets. Reasoned dissent is a good thing. I would hate to see a board member that just rubber-stamped issues. However, once we reach a decision, we need to work as a team. A single board or staff member cannot act to usurp the will of the body. We must also have the courage to take on issues that further peace and social justice. We have many bright, committed, and courageous board and staff members, and we need to encourage their contributions. Depending on how we choose to act, the whole can be more or less than the parts. Let us move forward to contribute to a more sane and just world due to our work with Pacifica Radio. Respectfully submitted, Arlene Engelhardt, Executive Director.
Thank you, Arlene.
Ken, to the stack.
Hang on a second, just a second.
Yes, I was going to say.
Hi, this is Dan Siegel. I came in late. I was occupied with the occupation.
Thank you, Dan. We'll note you for the record.
Okay,
I just want to let you know I'm here. Jessica from KPFT. Jessica and Rodrigo. Can you go ahead and mark them down, Bill? I presume, Mafia, you're not with us, correct? Okay.
Jessica, and Rodrigo. Got them.
Thank you so much. I didn't actually even ask for Secretary Pro Tem, which was an error of mine.
Okay, I'm got my PNB call in the office.
Okay. So, John, I will rely upon our recording secretary for taking notes
okay.
and
right.
just mark
Bye.
Some of those things. So that'd be helpful. We can hear your background talks, whomever, and I'll go ahead and take a stack for questions on thank you, Arlene, for your report on Arlene Engelhardt's report.
Campbell for a stack.
Okay, I had Ken, now I have Campbell. Anyone else want to add themselves at this
point? Rodrigo.
Rodrigo? Rodrigo, okay. All right, very good. And I can add more people as we go along. Everyone, please try to limit yourself to, 90 seconds so we can get through the evening. Thank you. Go ahead, Ken.
I just want to advise the people listening on the stream that Arlene's remark about the problems with audio port are related to when we were in Washington. Audio port had been down the previous week and addressed. It has not been down in October.
Right. Thank you, Ken. That's an important point.
Yeah,
okay.
I picked up on that. Thank you.
I just had a question regarding in regards to your report, you said you wanted to continue the hiring freeze. However, we're aware, having completed the budgets in public session, that there are some positions being added at National and at WPFW and WBAI. Is that correct?
Any position that hiring freeze carried with it the caveat that any change, any hiring had to be approved by the executive director before it could move forward.
All right. And if it and my question would be, if it occurs without that, should it occur, because it can occur, somebody can hire somebody, what would be the action that you would take? If you discover that a GM hired a chauffeur or a receptionist or a cook or a programmer or a board op.
It would have to depend to some degree on the circumstances. I've said it loudly and strongly enough that I hope it won't happen. But if it does, I will take action. And the action would vary from reversing the position to, and in addition, dealing with the general manager over ignoring the policy.
Okay, so but we can all understand, therefore, that, and then this is my last statement, that at the stations, there are no hires without the awareness and consent of the general manager. No hires.
That is. There not to be any hires without my consent, right?
But I understand without your consent. But I'm just saying,
right. or the and by that I mean the, there are some things that happen that are regular things, such as short-term
help.
People that help out during a fund drive or something like that. And those are positions that are budgeted. That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Like a demonstration of their album,
Thank you, Ken. Folks, I'm hearing a lot of background talk. I understand people are concluding their work days or whatever you're doing, but having other telephone conversations with other people, please mute this particular call, pound 1, so the rest of us don't have to hear it. Thank you.
Campbell, you're next on the stack, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I have one question that I'd like to get some information on. I know that WPFW moved most of its drive up through the just concluded fiscal year, and that certainly affected our financial results. I was wondering if we could get an indication of how many drive days per station were undertaken this past year as compared to the year prior.
Oh, shit, I just
going to
be that one.
Hey, before you respond, Arlene, I'm sorry, again, perhaps the person who's doing all the talking simply can't hear me because he's on another phone call, but if you can hear me, please mute the phone because we're hearing other conversations, and we're not in executive session. That's not the issue. It's just courtesy. We can't hear each other because we're hearing you, so please mute your phone. Thank you.
Okay, Summer, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You can.
I heard your question, Campbell, and I'm assuming that what you're asking is for those figures for fiscal years 2010 and 2011. Is that correct?
Correct.
We can get that for you. And Laverne just put together a chart on 2012, what's listed in the budget, and sent it out to the general managers for confirmation because in a couple of cases, what the general managers have been saying and what's in the budget don't agree totally. So we're trying to get total confirmation. So we'll put that together for 2010, 2011, and the anticipated 2012.
Thank you very much. And can that include the that whether there are additional days added to the drive, you know, to reach a goal or something like that, please?
Insofar as we have that information, we know how many days they went. In some cases, we may not have the information that tells us whether there were any added or not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Cam. Okay, Roger was next, and was that Bill who wanted to be on the stack? Sorry, I heard a male
not
voice.
Not me, no.
Okay, sorry.
There's been three, actually.
Yeah. No, you're right. The original was in West Hammer back in the early 80s.
Yeah. Now I'm hearing a Texas conversation. Please mute your phone. Thank you. If you're not next up on the stack or the queue to speak, then please mute your phone so that we don't hear your other conversation. Thank you. Okay, Rodrigo, you're next, please.
Yes. We had approved some motions about the penalty and also about supporting, the 99%. So we talk about social justice and working as a team once we approve motions, My question for our ED is when is she going to implement the motion we approved in Washington in regards to the Spanish language programming, which is overdue now. It was supposed to be enforced on the 19th, and I've been sending at least, four or five, emails, in the last three emails, I haven't gotten no response at all.
I sent a response, Rodrigo, that I have sent it to the program directors and general managers. I have discussed it with them at the last, I'm not sure if it's two or three, program director and general manager meetings. So we have been talking about it, yes.
Okay, you did send a motion to them.
Yes, I did. Yes, I just
expected them. So, I haven't gotten no response from the last three emails that I sent you.
I sent you an email just a couple of days ago saying that I had sent it to the program directors and GMs. I'll send you another one.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm sorry if it didn't reach you.
No, it seems like it didn't. So I'll check it out.
Yeah, I apologize.
No,
thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Rodrigo. Are there other people for the stack with questions at this point? And if not, we'll move on to the next item. Okay.
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Campbell also another question.
Okay, Campbell, let me see if there's any more first rounders. Okay,
sure.
Go ahead, Teresa. Sure, thanks.
Three things, Arlene.
Sure.
First one is you mentioned staffing, and it's a matter of concern to me, and it's been brought up by several people on the development, from the point of view of development at KPFT, that we need, if we are applying for grants, we need to take better measures to record the volunteer hours. Because when we have someone that's an attorney, for example, the chair of our board who does volunteer work, that's worth a lot of money. And we should be recording that. You know, if he had been paid, he'd be paid $200 an hour or such. And I'm hoping that it can come from the executive director that our stations need to make better recording of how many volunteer hours are put in, because it would make a significant difference if you consider the in-kind number of hours when we apply for grants.
No.
That's actually, it wasn't from the perspective of grants, but it's on the agenda for tomorrow's staff meeting, which is basically GMs and Ursula and Brian and John and Otis. To talk about instituting the system that Otis and John have developed for recording volunteer hours or some alternative so that every station is doing a better job. I'm dealing with it at this moment in terms of election issues, but you're right that it's also an issue for grants.
Well, if we were to properly record how many volunteer hours were put into our station and what it might cost if we actually paid them, it would really demonstrate how valuable these stations are. The second point is anyone on the national level applying for grants?
Not on the national level at this moment, no. It's one of the many things I'd like to be doing, but I've been spending too much of my time on legal work recently.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for your work, and I also want to say that as an executive director, you are quite a presence, and now that we have one person that people can be, you know, talking to, relating to, we can actually work on developing big donors on the national level, and I'm really hoping that you will be mentioning that we need to be working on big donors from KPFT. My third point is,
I have been working with some of the stations on big donors.
Yes.
I've talked to Duane about it, but I haven't actually done any real work with KPFT yet. And I've also begun cultivating a couple of people at the national level myself. But I'd like to spend a lot more time in that area.
You are awesome. My third point is, you did refer to the affiliates as a unit, just as Archives was a unit. Are we dealing with the issue? I mean, is Affiliates going to ever have a separate budget? And is Ursula going by her job description from like 5 years ago or from like 3 years ago when the National Board called her an outreach director and passed a job description that was different from before, which I think the staff never implemented? So I'm a little confused. Is there a unit? And
well, it's a part of a national budget, at least at this point, mainly due to its size and the ease of handling it. Every separate unit requires additional accounting and banking and so forth, but we do keep track of their income and expenses somewhat separately. And the only title that I've ever had for Ursula is as Affiliates Coordinator, and that's the only job description that I have. If something different was passed before my time, I didn't know about it.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that Affiliates is a unit, but it's not a unit like the general, like stations are units.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Arlene. Is there anybody else who has not yet spoken or has a question before we move on? And I'll let Campbell ask the same question. Okay, go ahead, Campbell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Arlene, I was wondering, there were a couple of things that I had sent to you on a few occasions, and one was a survey for our Committee of Inclusion, and I was wondering if you had heard back from Mr. Krigler on that yet.
I got an initial note that said he'd get something further to me, and he hasn't at this point, but I will follow up with him. I'm sorry, I kind of dropped the ball there, but I did send it off, actually, to two attorneys, so I'll follow up on that. Sorry.
Okay. I guess another piece of that, because I had sent a copy of the confidentiality agreement, and I had mentioned in an earlier email that I'd sent to you regarding that there were several of them that were floating around, and I trust the one that I sent you is the last and best and the one that can be used for all purposes, because we need it for our relocation committee, our committee of inclusion, our management assessment and search committee, and I think there's one other that
I'll look at that again, Campbell, and tell you if it's the one that we've been using. I'm not happy with any of the ones that I've seen, and I started to send it off to one of the attorneys that we've been using, but I thought, wait a minute, we're just about to get a new counsel. I had sent it to Ricardo, but I hadn't gotten anything back. I mean, I think that was even before you had requested it. And so I thought I'll wait and let our new general counsel approve the final version, but I will take care of that, and hopefully we can, I'm assuming that we will be deciding how we're going to notify that person and that relationship can start very quickly.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so okay, very good. Now, I was a little unclear with the way it was put together. It looks like we're doing reports and then a discussion of correction of the audit deficiencies, although it sounds like you covered quite a few of those in your...
I think we had decided that was going to wait until after we went through them at the FRAT committee again.
Okay, so that would come up on the November 10th.
It would come up on the November 10th. That was the way I understood it, and the same thing with the recovery plan.
Okay, that's fine with me. So the agenda is being amended slightly as we move along here. Okay, very good. Then thank you, Arlene. And LaVarne, do you have... some update on CFO report to give this evening?
Yeah, this is LaVarne. Can you hear me okay? I'm on the cell phone right now.
Yes, we can. LaVarne Williams, Chief Financial Officer. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. My report is just we're continuing with our close. We had the Monday we weren't able to do a lot of work. But I did a preliminary on myself pulling it together to see what our numbers would look like. And I have that outline. I have the P&L by quarter with the major categories. So I didn't send it to you because I finished it late last night, so I didn't want to like inundate you with things that I'd finished really late. But based on that, the numbers are all preliminary. We still have a number of adjustments to make between the stations, between the national office. But if you look at the numbers, you see that we have a slight surplus. And this is, of course, before audit and pre a number of adjustments between station and national office. So that's what we look like today. But the thing that I just want to point out is that we really, these are one of the things that we're looking at in terms of a recovery plan. We really need to look at the timing of our drive. And I think I made this point earlier, is that the drives that we did in December of last year were very successful, and that I think that that's something that we really need to look at and make sure that we're doing that, and that we're actually asking for funds when the listeners have them, and when they're at a time when people are really more generous or they may have more funds. So, and that was the Christmas period. And if we look at our results over the quarter, which is what I've done, when I pulled together the numbers from the detailed trial balance yesterday, was to see that, you know, we were really had the funds in the first quarter, you know, we really surpassed the budget, and that the fourth and the third quarter is where we have we are somewhat under budget. So, you know, just based on our experience over this year, I think that those are things that we can look at in finance and attempt to really make the changes and really try to use the success model versus a failure model in order for us to continue to be successful. And as Arlene said, you know, after, you know, losing $2 million last year, 2.6 the prior year, and almost a half a million the year before, that, you know, we're still have payables. So our goal this year is to reduce them as much as possible and to actually look at other means in terms of doing funding. And Brian DeShays is with Pacific Radio Archives. A lot of his funding is through grants and working with NEA and places like that. So Brian and we've committed here at the National Office to work with Brian to look at trying to get major funding because through grants, because, you know, that is the face and the history of the foundation. So we see an avenue to actually try to continue to use that in other arenas to get grant funding and foundation funding for the archives. So that's kind of where we are today. You know, we're still trying to close the fiscal year. We're already starting gathering some of the work for the audit, although, you know, we're still looking at the selection of the auditor. So that's kind of where we are now, and, you know, we are cautiously optimistic that we will be able to deliver some small surplus or break even after the audit.
Thank you, LaVarne. Are there questions? Okay, any back to CFO before we move on?
This is
Campbell.
Ken.
Okay, Ken and then Campbell?
No, Campbell was first.
Sorry, okay. Thank you. Campbell and then Ken. Thank you. Go ahead, Campbell.
Okay. The pension issue that came up the other day, I had sent an email regarding that and some information that I think would be important for the national board to have, and I was wondering when we could look forward to having that.
I'm sorry, when did you send this?
This was, goodness, I guess about 3-4 days ago.
I don't recall receiving anything from you on the pension. And no, I don't. Would you please resend it?
Sure, I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, yeah, LaVarne. This is also regarding the pension. I understand you're investigating it, but because some information has gone out on this to the public, could you just keep us updated for the public stream as to the status of what's happening with that?
What's happening is, I guess I can do briefly, is that the pension audit, or the pension transfer for 403B is due, we found, on the 15th of business day after the month that of the payroll. And that we have done is that we are caught up. We've made the transfers that were due for the month of September, and so for the month of October, those transfers are due at the latest by the 15th business day. So that would be the 15th business day in November, and I think over the time of this foundation, that particularly when you started running into the major losses, I think I sent that to you, to all of say what the exact losses were, that the delay in terms of making the transfer was a practice. So we, now that we know that this practice was in place and that this is not a practice we'd like to continue, that we have it prioritized to make sure that this practice doesn't continue. And that's where we are today.
Thank you, LeVar. Thank you, Ken. Is there anyone else with any questions?
I just had one follow-up question on that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If it were to occur that there were some deficiency in obligations to the pension fund, is there a financial capability to remedy that?
Well, you know, we have an audit every year, and we have an audit of the pension that foundation pays, the 2%. And we have the IMG where the foundation pays up to 4% match, I believe. So those audits have been done every year. Nothing has been found to be deficient in those audits. So therefore, we've had audits and there's nothing has been found to be deficient in those pensions. So other than, you know, have them redo their audit to see if they missed something, I don't see another measure in terms of determining that there's something missing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Summer?
Yes?
This is Jessica. I have one question, and my problem is that I meant to ask it of Arlene and just let it go because I thought my questions were answered, but maybe, you know, my question is similar to what I just heard. That information went out, and I kind of have an open-ended idea of it. Did I miss an email? Because I didn't actually get an explanation of what the heck they were talking about with that email.
Arlene, do you want to take this?
I mean, I don't even want to bring it up again, to tell you the truth, but I know that the question will be what happened.
Sure. Thank you. LeVarne or Arlene? I'm sorry. Can either of you hear me?
Hello?
Can you
hear me?
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
In the interest of time, I'll take an email, too, instead.
Excuse me. This is Arlene. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. You're talking about the pension, right, Jessica?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. What we have done is we have gone through and identified the date that every payment was made, and we know that every payment was made. At this moment, we are totally current.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And we have made note of when that payment is due each month. Under, you know, federal laws, payroll is the very first priority to be paid. And we have made that our priority on all occasions. And we have yet to miss a payroll, knock on wood. Hopefully, we never will. Hopefully, we can make all of our benefits payments on time, too.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, did you want to be on the stack?
Yes, my question is to Arlene, not to...
Okay, well, we seem to be going around a little here, but that's go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask Arlene in the responses to both Rodrigo and to Campbell, can you copy the full board, please, so we can all be in the loop and not be redundant in our questions to date?
Sure.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Arlene. Okay, Jessica, that took care of your question, correct? So are there any other people with questions before we move on?
Summer, this is Kathy. I don't have a question. I just wanted to let you know that I'm here.
Thank you. Bill, can you mark down Kathy? And also, I know Heather is on the call. She sent me a text that she had joined us.
Okay.
Mark
and Heather
as well. Thank you, Kathy.
My apologies for my lateness, but I had a conflict with which ran over. So
I'm sorry.
that? Is that Afia? Oh, hi, Afia. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, great. I've just, you know, John Gary's doing the recording, and I've had Bill just keeping track of who is on the call, but we haven't taken any motions or anything, so thank you. Now that you're here, I'll call on you. Thank you. Okay, very good. Thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Laverne. And we can move on in the agenda, I believe. So, which I was just opening up again. There we go. Okay, so I know on there we had we prioritized up Alex's emergency motion, so I think that would be the first thing. That would be the next thing on the agenda. Alex, want to go ahead and read your motion for the green plan?
Sure. Let me just give me a second to bring it up.
Thank you. And I'm pulling up again.
Oh.